We're continuing our series on our thoughts, judging our thoughts and intentions of our heart. And we're kind of reviewing the false self. And thank God for Q&A last week, because it kind of got a little clarity on some things. And so I kind of want to just go over that before we move on, just to be sure that we got that down in our soul. So let's go to Romans chapter 12 again, and verse 2. We'll read verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Thank you, Father. And I love how some revelation came forth in understanding how Christians can live, you know, in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Look at verse 1, Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Now, this is letting us know very clearly and unmistakably that God, through the Apostle Paul, to his letter to the church at Rome, is talking to the people of God. He's talking to saved folks. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Sinner can't do that. A living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. King James says reasonable service, which is your spiritual service or act of worship. He's speaking to Christians, right? Amen. And do not be conformed to this world. Well, see, that's talking about the Christian.
Yes, sir.
Can Christians be conformed to this world? They most certainly can.
Yep.
Do not take the shape of outwardly rather, of this world. But be ye transformed, and we'll go over that even more, an inward transfiguration, by the renewing of your mind, your thoughts, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And that is the will of God. It is good, the will of God is acceptable, and it is perfect. And we've gone over that. So Christians can assume an outward expression which is patterned after this world. We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that outward expression does not come from our inward regenerated inner being. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So Apostle Paul, by the permission of the Holy Ghost, and under the divine auspices of the Holy Ghost, is saying, stop masquerading in the ways of this world. Mannerisms, speech, styles, and habits. And he said, stop this and putting on a costume. Love that phrasing there. We're masquerading, this masquerade costume that saints sometimes put on. The thing about it is, we do sometimes put it on.
Amen.
But when we do, he said, it hides the Lord Jesus Christ living in our heart.
Amen.
And it covered through which the Holy Spirit cannot radiate the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is never good to walk around in the habiliments, is the $1 million word for that, which means the ways, the speech, the mannerisms, and the customs and expressions of this world.
Amen.
Word of life, our goal is never to be like the world. Our goal is not just to fit in so we don't stand out. That's exactly the opposite.
Amen.
If we're light of the world, then what's implied in that? That there's darkness.
Amen.
If we're the salt, what does that imply? One, is there corruption? There's corruption.
Yeah.
Because salt retards corruption on one hand, and then a salt adds flavor on the other hand. Those are our roles. Then he said we're a city set on a hill. He didn't say we're just a city, but set on a hill. What does that imply? Easily discerned.
Amen.
Easily seen.
Amen.
So saints of God, I know this is ice to Eskimos, but we're never just to fit in. We're never just a slider. Let me just try to disappear. Let me just try to just... And when I say that, I mean blending. I mean, where you're speaking like the world. I mean, I'm not talking about you being quiet and being kind of like without fine and good, no Holy Ghost wisdom to add this conversation. Let me just back. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where we just blend in by just agreeing and talking with sounding, looking, and the mannerism of speech just fitting in. That's not what we're called to do. Why? Because that covers in the Lord Jesus. It masks who we really are. And the Holy Spirit cannot radiate the beauty of the Lord Jesus. I love that phrasing.
Amen.
It hides the Lord Jesus living in our heart.
Amen. Yes.
And it covers the Holy Spirit. Do you think that grieves the Spirit of God?
Yeah.
Sure it does. Does it quench the Spirit?
Yeah.
He said, quench not the Spirit and don't grieve him. Well, when we do that, we're sinning on those parts too. And so when we talk, and I thank God for clarity because it can present it more crystal clear, and that's why we're going back over it. When we look like the world outwardly, that's and is not a representation of who we are inwardly, then that is our false self because that's not who we really are. That's not who we really are. And that's why really as children of God, when we begin to operate, in other words, when we begin to take on outwardly the speech, customs, the mannerisms and habits and ways of the world, inwardly the Holy Spirit should be jacking us up immediately. Like, this is not you. You know better than that. There should be a great disturbance.
Amen.
Is that a fair statement?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's saying this is not who you really are. That's a false version of you. It's not you. Mm-hmm. Meaning on the surface, right? That's not you.
Yeah.
That surface level living. That's why we are never to be content with accolades and so forth from folks who are just seeing just our outside because they're not seeing the real you. But when we're deceived enough, we'll get into that. The false self usually is a deceived self. It's a deceived self. We're deceived, tricked out and so forth and so on, or so much so, that we actually believe what they're telling us. Wow, and that's really where you're in a lot of trouble. You know that's not you. But yet any accolades and which is all designed by Satan because we want to feel good. How many know there's a time that we don't need to feel good?
Amen.
There's a time that we need to feel bad, especially if we're in sin.
Amen.
And in disobedience to God's word.
Amen.
So what we're doing here, and I don't want to show you a verse that we maybe that's more appropriate than the ones I showed you, because using a Pharisee example, and I love how you all asked, I loved it. I'm not above mistakes or maybe using supporting verses that maybe didn't quite fit the bill, even though it can give a bit of a representation, but not use the Pharisees, you know, and because say, Christians can masquerade like the world and be deceived and think they're okay. And so that's what I was trying to use the Pharisee idea or example from that. So that's where that was coming from. Look at Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2. Exodus chapter 23 and look at verse, we'll start with verse 1. The laws being laid down by God Almighty through his slave Moses. Exodus 23 verse 1. You should not bear a false report. Do not judge your hand with a wicked man. I'm sorry, do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not follow the masses. Look at that phrasing. You shall not follow the masses. In the literal Greek, it means you shall not follow many men in doing evil. Nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. When we masquerade as the world, we're following the masses. It's a point I believe that we can use that. When the world is acting a certain way and we don't want to stand out, it's more comfortable just to fit in. We're following the masses. And he said, you shall not follow the masses in doing evil. Or turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. Don't let crowds influence you or intimidate you. Does that make sense? Don't let crowds crowd you out of your righteousness, of your righteous living. And I'm saying, wow, Father God, this is an excellent supporting scripture. Because the temptation is just be comfortable. Just say a few words. Just act a certain way and just blend in. Ain't nobody gonna bother you. But how many know that you may be there to stir the pot?
Amen.
To turn things upside down. Not more of the same. I've been telling you all for years that where you work and live and shop and the family you're with, that all of those are assignments that are divinely appointed for you. Is that a fair statement? Because I'm not going to be at your Thanksgiving and Christmas gathering, Miss Cheryl. I don't go to where you work, but you're there. Miss Paula won't be at your birthdays and family gatherings and the family reunion, but you'll be there.
Yeah.
Do we understand that?
Amen.
Our lives are not our own. We can't afford really to have our false self on display.
Amen.
Because we want to follow the masses. And let a multitude persuade us to pervert justice. Or in our case, pervert righteous living. Help us, Father God, not to follow the masses. Isn't that the same as be not conformed to this world? Because that's the masses. Let's look at another scripture. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, as he is advising and counseling this church. Verse 3. Did I say chapter 1?
Yeah.
Verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful greeting.
Amen.
Who gave himself for our sins. Why? When you see so that in the Greek, it's called a henna. If we can go into a little bit of a theology seminary class, it's called a henna clause. Henna clause. H-I-N-A. Meaning it's a purpose clause.
What is that?
Oh, purpose.
Purpose.
My bad. The bad writing. Thought it looked pretty decent.
Oh, no. You're saying henna is what purpose is?
Yes. Henna clause, L-A-U-S-E, means that it is purpose. It demonstrates a purpose for this reason. Okay? So that's the Greek term for that. So now, look what it says here. It says that Jesus gave himself for our sin. And you know what? Notice in verse 4, it could have said who was given for our sins. But it always has that, what I think is called a reflexive tense, where it's Jesus himself, you know, that kind of thing, like to just amplify and intensify. Hey, this was done personally by the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Here's the henna clause. Why did he give himself for our sins? So that he might rescue us, you see that, from this present evil age. Here we are, hourly looking like this present evil age, and here Jesus has rescued us from this. I read that, I'm like, Father God, forgive us. Wow. Forgive us. You shed your blood. You gave your back to the beaters and your life to the killers so that we might be rescued. Look at that word, rescued from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now that don't make us feel guilty when our outward not matching our inward. When our outward matches the world rather than our inward, this ought to make us feel guilty. That's why we get checked from the Holy Spirit if you are truly born again. Because Jesus gave his life, himself gave this life, so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. Not blend in and act like it. To the will of God, our Father. This is the will of God, our Father. And then there's a worship to him, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father God, help us not to follow the masses. Help us not to be conformed to this world. Help us to honor the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, who gave himself for our sins so that we might be rescued from this present evil age. According to your will, Father God, to you be the glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That's a prayer get answered. Amen.
Amen.
That prayer get answered. This is a way sideways statement, but I believe I'm led to speak it. You know, as you're praying for things like this, Lord, help me to hate what you hate. One of the greatest prayers you can ever pray over any individual who's already saved is help them and us to hate what you hate and love what you love. That's a phenomenal prayer to pray. While you're praying prayers like that, you know, God does reward those who diligently seek him. Now, so I'm led to say this, but no, we're not against prosperity. Yeah. I don't know why I'm being led to say this, but other than the Lord, we're not against prosperity. He is a rewarder. David was super rich. Job was ridiculously rich. Solomon was crazy rich. He promised in his word you can have all sufficiency in all things, requiring no aid or support. You can be independently wealthy. Self-sufficient. He is a rewarder. I'm just warning about making that your chief aim. Amen. Yeah. That's where the problem comes in. Amen. And that's something if we finish praying this prayer about that you might rescue us from this present evil age and honor the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. It's like the Lord dropped in my spirit. He said, let them know they can still pray for a Cadillac or something. Just that it's not the aim. It's not the goal. Those are trinkets. You can pray for trinkets, though. But just keep it in perspective. Does that make sense? Amen. Keep it in perspective.
Amen.
Because I'm not against prosperity. Because God isn't against prosperity.
Amen.
He says it. Like he'll use things like Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the sinner, nor stand in the seat, nor sit, but his delight rather than the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be, because he does delight in the Lord and meditate in the word. Because you do that, there's a reward. And he shall be like a river planted by the rivers of water, a tree rather, planted by rivers, streams of waters, whose leaf will not fade, not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. It's prosperity. Joshua 1 and 8, when you let not the book of the law depart out of your mouth, and you meditate day and night, and observe to do according to all that is in the law, he said, then you will have good success and make your way prosperous. Prosperity, to deal wisely in all the affairs of life. What prosperity is that? That's tremendous.
Amen.
He told him in Deuteronomy that I'm going to make you so prosperous, but be careful that you think you got your wealth by your own strength and power. He had to warn him ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So amen. I'm just letting just pray that. I mean, I'll tell you that. Just not against it. Just keep it in perspective. I love a letter from my nephew, and we use that a lot. Keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing that's the main thing is Christ and Him crucified. Amen. The Word of God.
Amen.
Then everything else, that's when he said, seek ye first the kingdom, there it is, and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added. Just keep it in perspective. Okay. So are we understanding this false self? It's to outwardly look like the world, act like the world, operate in the ways of the world, but inwardly you are a true real child of God, and it's not magic. It's not magic. Okay, so this false self, in my next little set of notes here, the false self / persona is self-deceived. This false self is self-deceived. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He is deceived. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let no man deceive you, or deceive himself rather. Let no man deceive himself. Wait a minute now. By him giving that command, is it possible then to deceive yourself? Or is he wouldn't say, let no man deceive himself?
Amen.
It's possible that a person can deceive themselves.
Amen.
If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. Can a person operating through conformity to this world think they're wise in this age?
Yeah.
He says, when you do, see, you're deceiving yourself. You need to recognize that all your worldly wisdom is nothing. And that's why he must become foolish, is to realize that I don't know anything. So that he may be wise. Real wisdom. Not worldly wisdom. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Or 6 rather. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 3. Let me get there. Okay, we got it?
Yeah.
For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Wow. And you know the word deceive? That's a deep word. It means to be a mind misleader. Wow, listen to that. A mind misleader. Phrenopatao. Phrenopatao. A mind misleader. In other words, to delude. In other words, to mislead your mind. Well, why would a person's mind be misled? Because of what they're seeing, what they're hearing. No, if you're out here looking like the world and receiving accolades from that, and you begin to believe that, your mind is being misled. That's deep, though. Can a Christian's mind be misled? Yes, he most certainly can. Yes, Christians can be self-deceived. Even though we have the mind of Christ. Why? Well, he's the most subtle beast of the field. And if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit and your flesh is running things, there you go. Mind deception. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. James 1, 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Hearers of the word, and they think that's enough. Well, and that's a great example. When a person is, go back to Romans 12, is outwardly living like the world, they go to church every Sunday and every midweek and every men's group or women's group. So they're hearing the word, but they're not doing the word. They think I'm hearing the word, and there's millions of Christians who think that. I'm hearing the word, I'm there. Good enough. He said, when you do that, you deceive yourself. The Greek word there means to misreckon. And you're coming to the wrong conclusion. To reckon wrong, to miscount, to deceive, to delude. Like coming up and saying one time one is nine. You're misreckoning. And you believe it's nine. You walk away with that. That's delusion. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you kind of smile. One time one ain't nine. That's silly. Yeah, so it is. It's just as silly to think you can hear the word and not do it and be okay. Yeah. It's just as silly. Yeah. You're misreckoning. You're misleading your mind. That word is paralogizomai. Logic, L-O-G, logizomai. It's logic and para alongside of it. To miscount, to misreckon, to cheat by false reckoning. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. We'll stop here, Lord willing. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Read it again. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, is it safe to say that if your outer man is conforming to the world, you're walking in darkness? Is that a fair statement?
Amen.
But can you be deluded, self-deceived, mind, whatever I said on them, I got the note, mind something, and then mind deceiver, and to misreckon, both are two different words there, but meaning the same thing, to delude. Can you be deluded, mind deceived, into thinking that I go to church, I'm there every Sunday and Wednesday, I'm living like the world, and I'm not practicing the truth? Can you be deceived into thinking you're okay?
Yep.
You most certainly can. When we walk as the world walks, when we are conformed to this world, then we are walking in the darkness.
Yeah.
We're not walking according to truth. Darkness means an absence of truth.
Amen.
Not only just an absence of light, but an absence of truth. If truth, so the opposite of truth is error, or that which is false. We're walking in that. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he himself, as he himself reflects him again, is in the light, talking about Jesus, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, here we go, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's a real deep thing, that you can deceive your own self and not know that you're being deceived. That's what sin has done to us. How many know we need the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
And that's another word for deceive here. This one means to roam from truth, safety, or virtue. To roam, wander off from truth, from that which is safe, from that which is virtuous. Means to stray, to lead aside from the right rigid way. And if you're leading aside from the right rigid way, then you're being led into error. That makes sense.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we are roaming from the path of truth and righteousness. And if we've roamed away from it, then it's not in us at that time. However, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do we get back to that? Sister Renata prayed in her prayer that sin is a wedge. Love the phrasing. It's amazing I can come up with all these that aren't in your normal vocabulary when you're praying. But it drives a wedge between us and God. Sin does. You just prayed it. While we are outwardly looking like the world, that is driving a wedge from us, and we're deceiving ourselves. But thank God, that's a nice segue into next week. When our inner man matches our outward living, that's our real self, then he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because thank God, in Jesus' name, he will show us when our outward is not matching our inward. And he'll get on us and stay on us until they do match.
Amen.
Until our inward regenerated self matches our outward living.
Amen.
That's good news. Father God, I pray over us, 1 John 6 through 10. I thank you, Father, that we have fellowship with you. But if we're mistaken and walk in the darkness, we're lying and we do not practice the truth. Amen. But you said in your word that if we walk in the light as you're in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and your blood cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, Father, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. We don't want to be in that group. Expose us. If we're deceiving ourselves, it takes you to bring the truth to us. And we'll confess our sins, and you're faithful and righteous and just to forgive us our sins. And thank you, Father, you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness because you are so gracious and you're so merciful. And then we'll live our true self, if you will, which is when our outward living matches our inward born-again nature. When our inward divine nature is displayed through our outward living. And we won't masquerade in the ways of this age. Instead, we'll be transformed inwardly. Inwardly, in our inner being. And that takes place when our mind is renewed. We thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.